Well, it's wonderful, huh?
I'd like for you to turn, please, to Romans chapter 7. That's where we're going to, what we're going to take a look at. I want to, as you read in the book of Romans, one thing that is, it sounds kind of silly, but it's such a basic truth, and that is to remember what we've read. Romans 7 is not introducing a new topic. It is really a continuation of what we've been reading in Romans 6. When you go back to Romans 1, and I just want to run through this very quickly because there are some things here in Romans 7 that will allude to some things that have been shared previously in the book of Romans. Romans 1, Jesus Christ marked out as the Son of God by resurrection. The only one to have ever been raised from the dead, never to die again. Nobody else has ever been raised from the dead, never to die again. Jesus Christ is the only one in heaven, and he's at the right hand of God. That's what marked him out. And what we learn in Romans 1, that it's the gospel of God regarding Jesus Christ. And it's the gospel of God that will reveal that which God has given to be believed. His justice regarding Jesus Christ, regarding mankind. Romans 1:18 through chapter 3, verse 20. In a nutshell, set out the legal condition of mankind. The Gentiles worshiping the creation more than the Creator. The Judeans, who were given the oracles of God, rejected that God. All come short of the glory of God. Then beginning in chapter 3, verse 21, what's revealed is God's righteousness. What He has provided for man to be righteous. And it is by believing rather than works. Romans 4 then shows what's referred to as the law of believing. And it is the example of Abraham. Okay? One thing to keep in mind is that there are three classifications of people in God's view. In man's view, there are many classifications of people. Only three in God's view. And it's critical to understand as we're reading in the book of Romans. You have the Judean, and everybody else, the Gentiles. That's it. From those two, they make up the church of God. Those are the only three classifications in God's eyes. And those are the two groups of a people that are lovingly addressed here in the book of Romans. See? To bring them to God's righteousness. To God's justice. Okay? In Romans 5, it describes the justice of God and how those who have believed regarding Jesus Christ are justified from the sin and the death, the condemnation of Adam. Romans 6, which is the section we're now in, we're going to continue in chapter 7. Romans 5 introduced that new life, spirit. And that is something that is not really fully understood in the church to a large degree. Spirit is not a supplement to life. It's not an aid to life. It is life. No spirit, you know what God calls you? Dead. Dead. Body and soul man, from God's viewpoint, is dead. We're really nothing more than a smart animal without spirit. And I don't say that facetiously. That's true. That's true. Spirit is eternal life. Spirit is the life. I am come that they might have what?
Life.
And have it more abundantly. See? Man cannot attain unto God's righteousness by way of the flesh. It can't be done. And one of the things that was introduced earlier in Romans in chapter 3 is that the law pointed out man's hopelessness. It made known sin. And it made known man's state. And that without God, man could never on his own be righteous. Romans 6 then starts talking about walking in newness of life. And there's something new that's, you know, really, it's introduced and then sort of driven home in Romans 6. And that is our total identification with Jesus Christ in the eyes of God. When he died, you what? You died. No difference. You died. And he that dies is free from
the sin.
Right. And if I'm free from sin, I'm also free from what? The law. Right? Right. This is new. And this newness of life that is spoken of in Romans 6 is spirit. It's spirit. It's walking by spirit. And as we continue in Romans, the book will zero in more on the how of walking in newness of life. That we don't owe the flesh anything. Nothing. It's dead. As far as God's concerned, it's dead. Old nature, dead. We are a new creature, new creation in Christ. We're in Christ. So, Romans 7 continues with that. And in verse 1, is really, it's a great key to understanding this section. And it's pretty simple, really. Verse 1 of Romans 7 says, "Know ye not, brethren?" Okay? Now, then there's a parenthesis. And it's going to help us understand this meaning of the word brethren here. I speak to them that what?
Know the law.
Know the law. Who was that? To whom had the oracles of God been given according to Romans 3?
Israel.
The Judean. Everything about their lives revolved around the Mosaic law, revolved around circumcision. Everything about their history revolved around sin consciousness and the works of the law, of the flesh, of the sacrifices. All of these things, that was their whole identification. That's who they were. That's what separated them from the rest of the world. Everybody else was as dogs because they didn't have the law. And Romans 6 just ripped it out from under them. Now your identity's in who?
Christ.
Right. Now watch how God so lovingly works with them. Okay. I speak to them that know the law. How that the law hath lordship over a man as long as he what? As long as he lives. What did we learn in Romans 6? When he died, we what? We died with him. For the woman. Now this is for example. Now he's going to go to the Mosaic law and give them this example of what they have just read and learned. For example, the woman which has a husband is bound by the law, by the Mosaic law, to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if their husband be dead, she is discharged, is the word free. She's discharged from that law. so that she is no longer, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Do you understand? Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the what?
To the law.
That you, by the body of Christ, or through the body of Christ, that you should be married, joined to another, even to him, Christ, who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto who? Unto God. See? Romans 6 talked about fruit too. Fruit unto death. Under the law. Because it was all about controlling the flesh. But when he died, they died with him. So they're loosed. They're discharged. Now they can be joined unto who? Christ. Isn't that beautiful? How God works with them on this? Okay, and then, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, that old nature, prior to spirit, prior to newness of life, prior to Holy Spirit being shed abroad, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, okay, which were by the law, did work in our members, our bodily members, to bring forth fruit unto what? Unto death. Now, this word motions, it is a word that in only two places is not translated sufferings. And it means sufferings. It is used regarding the sufferings of Christ. But here, and also in Galatians 5, let's turn to Galatians. Keep your finger here. Let's go to Galatians 5 real quick. It is also translated, it's either translated sufferings, I think in two places it's translated affliction. But here what we just read in Romans, and here in chapter 5 of Galatians, in verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh, that old nature, with the, see that word affections? It's the word sufferings. It's the word for sufferings. Only two places. It's interesting, isn't it? Here they translated affections. Back in Romans, where we just read it, they translated motions. And it's the word sufferings. It is the, go back to Romans, please. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, that old nature, the sufferings of sins which were by the what? By the law. See? The constant sin consciousness. The constant falling short. It constantly pointed toward the weakness of the flesh. Isn't that something? Well, a lot of Christians live like that today. And they were never under the law. And yet they live like they are. Constantly aware of sin. Constantly sin conscious. Constantly aware of their shortcomings. And yet the word says we're free from that. Now the Judean, on the other hand, had been raised in the law. That was his whole identification. Now the law is ripped out from under him. How can there not be chaos without the law? That's why there are questions in here like, okay, so grace, so now we just sin? That would have been a question a Judean asked. How can you live without law? You have to have law. No, you don't. And we're going to see it really beautifully here in a few minutes. Because we got spirit. We got the spirit of God. The spirit of Christ. And that's where God is so lovingly leading them. Anyway. So, the sufferings in verse 5, of sins which were by the law did work in our bodily members to bring forth fruit unto the death. Forth fruit unto the death. Well, what's the death? No spirit?
No.
Yeah. But now, we are delivered, meaning it was made inactive. We're no longer held by the law because of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of what?
Spirit.
Not in oldness of the letter. See? Really something. That newness of spirit is that new nature. In 6, we're to walk in the newness of life. It's the Spirit of God being shed abroad. It's a spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. It's that newness of life. It's the life that Jesus Christ came to bring. It's the comforter that he talked about in the Gospel of John 13, 14, 15, 16. The comforter, which is spirit. I will not leave you comfortless. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, spirit. I got a lot of things to share with you. That's what he told his apostles. I got a lot of things to share to you. But you know what? You can't bear them now. You couldn't handle it. But the comforter's coming. And then you will. See? Isn't that something? That's that newness of life. That newness of spirit. Not oldness of the letter. The letter, referring, it uses the figure of speech, put for what made up the Mosaic Law, which was what? Letters. And the law was to control the flesh. That old nature. That nature with no spirit. But that old nature's dead. And we now have what? Spirit. Then verse 7. And this is sort of neat. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Don't even let that be said. No, nay, I had not known the sin, but by the law. This harkens back to some things that were said in Romans 3. And I think it's 3:19, that every mouth may be stopped. See, the law made known the sin. It made known man's state. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. That would be like saying, you're in the darkness, somebody turns on a light, and it made known that you were in total darkness. And you look back and say, wow, that light's darkness. Got it? The law was light. The law made known the darkness. That doesn't make the law darkness, does it? Of course not. Anyway. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not, what?
Covet.
See, it's just a little example of how it made that known. Now, there's something I want you to note in verse 7. It switches here to the first person. I. Okay? It's really neat. It switches to the first person where Paul becomes an example of Paul himself becomes an example of those who I had identified with the law, who were raised in the Mosaic Law, who knew the law. And the example of the ensuing conflict between the law being removed and that old nature which was subject to that law that was removed, which they were dead to. and the righteousness of God, which brings about the new nature, spirit, newness of life, which they were to walk in. See it? So, I. See? And he's using himself as an example of the conflict. This is really beautiful. Let's read verse 8. But the sin, is how it should read. Taking occasion, the word occasion is the word advantage. But the sin, taking advantage by the commandment, it wrought in me all manner of, and it should be, it's covetousness. Concupiscence is covetousness. For without the law, sin was dead or is dead. It's just reiterating what was shared in Romans 5, verse 13. For I was alive without the law once. Romans 5. The death passed upon all those who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. But where there is no law, sin is not what? Imputed. I, Paul, an example of those who were raised in the law, of Israel. Israel. I was alive without law once. Then the law came and what?
Sin
revived. It made it known. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I what? I died. And the commandment, and it should read, the commandment for life, I found to be unto what? Death. It made known that death. It made known man's utter helplessness. For the sin, or in fact the sin, taking advantage by the commandment, deceived me and it slew me. Wherefore, or with a view to, the law being holy, the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is made, which is good, made death unto me? God forbid. See, it wasn't the law, it was the sin. It's what Adam had brought in. But the sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that the sin by the commandment might become exceedingly what? Sinful. It's like turning on the light, baby. Thou shalt not covet. What do? I covet. Thou shalt not steal. What do? Get it? It makes it known. See? It just shows where man's at. And now, can you imagine being the Judean who totally identified with this law, and now he's dead to it? The law's gone? What, are we just going to go crazy? By the senses, that's what they're thinking. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that the sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, or from the Spirit. God gave the law, that Mosaic law. But I am carnal, sold under sin, flesh. For that which I do, I allow not, or I don't understand what I'm producing, is what it means. But what I hate, that's what I do. I practice that which I don't want to. The law says don't steal. What do? Steal. Little kids, they'll lie right to your face. Where did they learn that? Where did they learn that? Adam. What parent teaches their little kid to lie? That they'll lie. Boy, they'll cover their little diaper butts. I remember when Daniel was little. He was just little. He was little. And 5 in the morning, I walk down to the kitchen. I see a light on. Somebody let the freezer open. And I walk in the kitchen and I hear this scrambling. And all of a sudden, Daniel, he's just little, 2 years old, whatever he was. He looks around, covered with chocolate ice cream, looked me right in the eye and said, "I am not eating chocolate ice cream, Dad." Who taught him that? Do you see what I'm saying? It's kind of a silly example, but boy. See, and God is so lovingly. It's just, it's so amazing. Anyway. If then I do that, which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is what? That it's good. See, all of these things were addressed earlier in Romans. You know that know the law. You know the law. The law was given to you. Okay, right? You think you're great. You're above everybody. Hey, when you teach people not to steal, do you steal? And the answer was yes. When you teach people not to be adulterers, are you an adulterer? Yep. That's what he told them. It's beautiful. Because you can't perfect the flesh by works. It can't be done. So you know what God did through Jesus Christ? He killed it. Because you can't fix it. See? And he gave us a new life. Spirit. And that's where Romans has taken us. Walking that new life. See? But these Judeans, understandably, were having a time with it. Now, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwells in me. Boy, that's a shift. That's a shift. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, that old nature dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I can't find it. I can't find it. As hard as I try, I can't do it. As hard as I try to perfect this flesh, there ain't no way. He's speaking to the Judean as a Judean. This is our whole history. See? We talk about Jehovah, the true God, and then we killed his prophets. Right?
Yeah.
One God. And then we worshiped idols. That's who he's talking to. Couldn't do it. I knew what was right. Couldn't do it. Verse 19, for the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that's what I end up doing. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwells in me. I find then, and this word find is in the sense of search. I searched. I searched for a law. I searched for a law to help me with this dilemma. The law of Moses didn't do it. So I'm searching for a law. This is so beautiful. I searched for a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the what? The inward man. This is used other places in the Word. And it's referring to spirit. It's referring to that spirit that dwells within. I want to show you something before we go there. This inward man. I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. Okay? Jeremiah 31. And this is regarding the new covenant. That which God had promised would come. When that Redeemer came. And in chapter 31, and we're going to begin reading in verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in where? Their inward parts, and write it upon the table of their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Do you see how this would have communicated to somebody of Israel? The law of God after the what? Oh! New covenant! That's where we're going. See it? How that would have sung to the heart of somebody of Israel. See? This phrase, inward man, is used in Ephesians. It's used in 1 Corinthians. That outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed what? Do you see the loving way God's working with them? I searched for a law. I couldn't find it. Nothing worked. Mosaic law didn't do it. So I searched and I said, this is it. I found it. It's the law of God after the inward man. Now, is that a law? Is it? No. Is the law of life in Romans 8 a law? No. How about the law of the Spirit? Is that a law?
No.
No. How about law of believing? Is that a law? But whose hearts would those phrases have sung to? You see it? See, just the love that God has for his people. And just how he would meet his people where they're at to get them to Jesus Christ. See? And that's what Romans 7 is. It's beautiful. So, let's finish. So I delight after the law of God. In the law of God after the inward man. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, as we read on in Romans, we're going to see that we've been delivered, and that at the return, we're getting new bodies. We're not getting new life. We've already got life. It's seed. We're getting new bodies. The life we have is eternal life. You understand? That's life. See? Who will deliver me from the bodies of this death? And it's a mind picture, because it refers to a method of torture, really. And what they would do is they would take a man and they would strap a dead body to him, face to face. And he would starve to death and die with this dead body strapped to his face. That old nature is dead. And the Judean, he's saying to himself, I need deliverance. How do I do this? And that's where we go in Romans 8. Isn't that beautiful? You know? The question here is asked, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? And we're going to see Romans 8 closes with, nothing separates us. Isn't that something? How God just so lovingly works with his people. It's just awesome. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God. And that law of God is referring to that law of the inner man, that law of spirit, that newness of life. But with the flesh, the law of sin. And that is referring to that which we got from Adam. But the flesh is what? And we're going to learn how we walk in that newness of life as we continue in the book of Romans. So isn't that neat? So when we read 6 and 7, boy, read it together. See? And think about that old Judean whose whole life was wrapped around the Mosaic Law. And that was his identification. So, Father, thanks for your great love. Thanks for just the awesomeness of your word. And how you go to such great lengths to make your righteousness available to whosoever. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.